So I got some good news and bad news for you all this morning, this Easter morning. I'll give you the bad news first. The bad news is I woke up this morning and I saw my shadow and there's going to be six more weeks of lousy sermons. The good news is Christ is risen. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me how amazing the Holy Spirit is. Because I've been your pastor here at Promise for 6 years now and wonder what I can how I can possibly have something new to talk to you about in regards to Easter. Because I've read this, you know, event a lot over my life. And always wonder, you know, what is going to jump out at me. And the Holy Spirit is amazing in that every time there's something new that jumps out at me. And so here, I want you, as I read the Easter event according to Matthew, pretend it's the first time you've ever heard this and see what jumps out at you. Here it is from Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And this is God's word. So, there are, like I mentioned, a couple things from this passage that jumped out at me that is new. The first one is the earthquake. Did you notice Matthew talks about an earthquake? This is interesting to me because if you remember on Good Friday, when Jesus died, there was an earthquake. And when that earthquake happened, the veil, the curtain between the Holy of Holies and the holy place was split down the middle because everyone now has access to God because of Jesus' death. So there was an earthquake there, and now there's an earthquake again on Easter morning. You see, it's tying this event with Good Friday. It's just not an accident. It's tying these two events together. And the second thing that really jumped out to me this time as I was preparing for this message on Easter are the two Marys that Matthew talks about here. First of all, who are they? The first one, Matthew tells us, is Mary Magdalene. Now, Magdalene is not her last name. This just simply means from Magda, which was a village in Galilee. This is one of the towns that Jesus went through. She was healed by Jesus. She had seven demons in her, and Jesus healed her. And from that point on, she followed Jesus. It wasn't just the 12 main disciples. Jesus had a following, and there were women in the following that came along and helped. And she was one of them. And the other Mary, Matthew tells us, is the other Mary. How would you like to be that Mary, by the way? Can't wait to ask her up in heaven. How do you feel that Matthew described you as the other Mary? Well, I got into a a bad wormhole trying to figure out who this other Mary is. So we learn from another piece of scripture that she is the mother of James and Joseph. Well, guess who had brothers named James and Joseph? Jesus. But in another part, it says it could be the wife of Clopas. So the answer that I came to is we're just not quite sure who this Mary was. But her name was Mary. You see, all those names are very common names in that culture, so they're just not quite sure which Mary it is. Doesn't matter, but her name was Mary. And it might have been Jesus' mom. So why are they important to this event? Why does Matthew give so much attention here to these two women? Well, they were the first eyewitnesses of the empty tomb. And why is this significant? The fact that women were the first eyewitnesses shows that this is a historical event. And why? It's not fiction. Because you remember, at the time, a lot of people thought that the disciples were going to steal Jesus' body because Jesus had predicted what was going to happen. He told them that he would rise again. And so they wanted to make sure he stayed in that tomb. That's why they sealed the stone and they had Roman guards in front of it. They wanted to make sure that Jesus stayed there. So if they were trying to make up a story about this event, they would not use women. Because in that culture, to give women such prominence in entrusting the first proclamation of the resurrection wouldn't make sense. Because women just didn't hold a lot of clout in that culture in those days. They would have said men did it. But it was women. It was Mary Magdalene and this other Mary that are the first eyewitnesses. And oh, by the way, these two Marys were also there witnessing Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. They were there when all the disciples were wetting themselves in fear. They were there, and then after Jesus died, they were there, and they witnessed Joseph of Arimathea laying Jesus in the tomb. So they have been there at all of these major events, which is pretty cool. So they go, they're going to anoint Jesus, which is custom to do, to anoint the dead body. And they have an encounter with an angel. See, when this earthquake came, this angel came. And I got a picture up here of this. And this is an actual picture taken by Zacchaeus up in a tree of the event. And you can see the angel, Matthew tells us, was sitting on the stone. This is a really cool move by the angel. Ha! You can't stop me. This angel, this stone is no big deal for the angel who came to roll the stone away. And so this angel took care of two barriers for these two Marys to see and witness the empty tomb. The first one, of course, is the stone which he's sitting on, and the other one is the Roman guards that were there. They fell down like dead men because they were so scared. And I think we probably would have too if we had seen this happen. And then I find it interesting, two different things that the angel tells these Marys. The first one, do not be afraid. And if you look in the Gospels, anytime an angel comes and talks to somebody, they usually say, don't be afraid, because people are afraid. He was dazzling white as snow, it tells us. And he says to them, of course, you know, Jesus is not here. He is risen, you know, like he told you. And then he says, go quickly and tell his disciples. So keep those two statements in mind, because as they left quickly, they encounter Jesus. And the first words Jesus says to them is, greetings. Their roles now as eyewitnesses has now become even more amazing, and their reactions show us the faith of these two women. They fall down and worship Jesus and grab onto his feet. Now, why would Matthew give us that little detail of they grabbed onto his feet? You see, he wants everybody to know, including us, that this isn't just some figment of their imagination. This isn't a ghost. This is Jesus in his human form who has risen from the dead. They are grabbing his actual feet. The same feet that had holes pounded through them 2 days before. On Good Friday, 3 days before. He is very alive. And then Jesus says to them something very similar as the angel did. He says, do not be afraid. And then he says, go and tell my brothers about this. You notice the difference between what Jesus says here and what the angel said? The angel said, go and tell his disciples. Jesus says, go and tell my brothers. This is pretty significant and amazing because these brothers all abandoned Jesus when he was arrested and when he was crucified. This shows that Jesus still loves them. They are still his brothers. And he wants them to know that he's alive and he's going to meet them in Galilee. Then there's one other phrase that I found fascinating. When the angel told those two women to go tell his disciples, they went away with fear and great joy. That phrase really jumped up at me because it got me to thinking about you and I. And there's lots of things in this world and in our lives that can bring us fear, right? So I asked a bunch of people here at Promise what their greatest fear is. I just asked that question, said I was doing research for my sermon, and just wanted to see what people would say to this. People of all ages, here's some of the answers I got to this question. What is your biggest or greatest fear? Needles. Bees. Snakes. Spiders. I can throw mice in there because I hate mice. They scare me. And then after those, I mean, we all have those kind of fears, right? Things got a little bit more serious. One of them was dying alone and not getting married. Not being able to have children and being a mom. Losing my family. Cancer or another disease. The war with Iran. Something happening to my children where I could not be there for them. An illness or scary injury. One of my kids dying. Being anxious about my health. The uncertainty of finances and providing for my family. And what's this world going to be like for my kids and grandkids in 20 years? Can anybody else here identify with any of these things as being great fears that are real fears that we deal with here in this world? I mean, there's lots of things that can bring us fear. When you are afraid, when these things seize you, just like the fear those two Marys had, and we would have all been right along there with them on Easter morning. Hear the words that Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. You know, Jesus is someone who can say that and back it up. He means it. Listen to these words of Jesus from the Gospels. Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them, sparrows, is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than sparrows. Did you remember that? God knows how many hairs you have on your head. Some of our heads are easier to count than others. But he knows how many we have. That is how much our God loves us. And Jesus is the one telling us, you don't need to be afraid. I got you. And then he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he also says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Even when you and I are filled with fear, whatever it is, we still have that same joy that the two Marys were running with. Because Jesus died on the cross on Friday and he rose from the tomb on Sunday. He is alive. He has defeated sin, death, and the devil. He's won already. And he's the one telling us to not be afraid. But at those times that we are overcome with these fears, we still have joy. Because this is a joy that no one can take away from us. Jesus made sure of that when he cried out from the cross, his sixth word from the cross. And I talked about this on Good Friday. When Jesus said, it is finished, he wasn't talking about his life. He was talking about our salvation. It's finished. He died. He saved us from our sins. It is finished. And I told you Friday, but he's not finished. Because he rose from the tomb, didn't he? And now, we can follow the lead of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and run with fear and joy and go tell people the good news of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.